Before we start with the opening remarks and then that procedure within the meeting, let us first introduce ourselves. I think it's the first meeting. But everyone saw each other, so I'm not even going to speak about recess or anything, because we were on hearing. We went to farm school, and then the next was a workshop with the department when it comes to infrastructure. And then what announcement that I would like to make today, but we were not informed about it, is that the Appropriations Committee is meeting the Department of Basic Education today on the CD program. But I'm sure everyone knows exactly, besides myself, what is that mean when it comes to a CD itself and a progress, because we have a workshop on it. The first people to introduce themselves will be the honorable members, that everyone knows who they're speaking to, because we have communications here today to the Department of Communications. And after the honorable members, it will be our officials. After the officials, it will be first the Department of Basic Education. After the Department of Basic Education, it will be the Department of Communications. And then whichever guests are here, will you introduce yourself, please. I'm Hogmacher, and I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. Thank you.
My name is Crosby Mooney. I'm a member of the Committee on Basic Education. Toba.
Good morning. I'm Nomalunga Lukina, also the member of this committee.
Morning, everybody. I'm Island Makurena, a member of the committee.
Good morning, all. My name is Annette Lovemore, also a member of the Basic Education Studio Committee.
Good morning, my name is Jabile Tritungube Maruleka, a member of the committee.
Hi, thank you, Chairperson. My name is Sam Portan, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Megi Mahishi, member of the Portfolio Committee. Thanks.
Morning, everybody. Reverend Brown, Committee Secretary of the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning. I'm Dennis Bambi, Contact Advisor for the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, I am Javlan Ngobo, the researcher for the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, I'm Susan Daben, a committee assistant for the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, my name is Raja Azakani, I'm for Parliament Communications.
Good morning, the Investor Place. My name is Rosetta for Select Committee Education.
Good morning, honorable members, colleagues. My name is Mahanzi Mamueli from the Department of Basic Education.
Good morning, honorable members, colleagues. Alan Subban from the Department of Basic Education.
Good morning. My name is Phil Levy from the Department of Basic Education.
And good morning. My name is Kelly Mohi with Basic Education.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Harold Gesso. I am from the Department of Communications, responsible for e-skills, and also the acting CEO of the National Electronic Media Institute of South Africa.
It's Maimuna Sharif. I'm from the Department of Communications, e-skills Institute.
The other sites present in this meeting that we just meet, Matt?
Good morning, I'm Benny from PNG.
Thank you. Anyone else? there's no one else in the meeting. Thanks a lot for that. So everyone knows each other. We'll start the meeting now. Yes?
Chairperson, there is a document, a committee document that was circulated via, or came through by email this morning. Is it available on hard copy at the meeting?
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Cindy, can I come to Frank? Can we see what document that is? We can start with the meeting now, guys. I'm sorry about that, Honourable Lafmo, but it's through me that it only arrived this morning, because I only received it yesterday, and I said that I'll be through it by the next. So sorry about that, but this will help you when it comes to libraries. When it comes to the presentation itself, we are going to have a briefing on access to library services from the Department of Basic Education, and then we're also going to speak to e-education. Because many times there were many questions asked on these two subjects within our meetings, especially when it comes to libraries itself, and then also how far the education department is when it comes to e-education itself. And it was very important to this morning for us to have the Department of Communications here, because according to reports that I received, and even a report that we received, we had the SABC here, and I'm speaking to education itself. SABC spoke to the programs they had, but when it comes to e-education, communication is also connecting our schools, because we were informed, I can't remember in which meeting it was, I only know about the Eastern Cape, I don't know about the other provinces, 5,000 schools were connected by communication, 5,000 within the Eastern Cape itself. So today we'll hear the full story from the Department of Communications. We're first going to ask the Department of Basic Education to speak to the two reports that you have, the one on libraries, the one on E. After that, we'll ask communications to speak to us on what they are contributing towards basic education itself. Then, after the three reports, members, just take notes, please. When it comes to any questions that you'd like to ask, then we'll integrate the three reports. I think when it comes to the first report, let us give the Department of Basic Education on this. We'll give you 20 minutes. Will that be enough or less? And then on the next report, we'll give you 20 minutes. I'm not going to ask you whether it will be enough because it feels a bit weak. And then after that, we'll give communications doctor 20 minutes to speak to your report. And members will be receiving their report. As we are sitting in the meeting, we're only making copies now and then. And then after we receive all the reports, we'll interrogate it. Thanks a lot. You may start, Mr. Mawele. Oh, yes, apologies, Llewellyn. Sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies from Honourable Alicia, who has to be another portfolio colleague. We've received apologies from both Minister for Basic Education, who has immediate birth. Briefing she needs to attend. Also the Minister for Communications, who has a meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Communications as we speak. Also apology from our Acting Director General, who also has to brief another Portfolio Committee in the morning. Thank you.
Because last week the Communications chairperson wanted this to be a joint meeting, but yesterday informed us, now by Friday last week again informed us that they have other meetings that is scheduled for today, and therefore we're only having the two people from the department, the officials, briefing us. Thank you. You may start, Ms. Mawiri.
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Committee, let me first appreciate the timing for this engagement. We are approaching the end of the school calendar year. The two presentations are extremely important in affording us the successful implementation of the National Curriculum Statement. As we would all know and would appreciate, that embedded in the objectives of the National Curriculum Statement is high skills and high knowledge. So library and information services are extremely important in supporting and making sure that our learners succeed and thereby improving the learning outcomes in the system. I must also add that e-education is equally important, not only in complementing the work of library and information services through multimedia, but important in the way of making digital information available to learners, but also making text available to learners so that they are able to improve the learning outcomes. Chairperson, let me acknowledge upfront that the progress that we have made in both areas, library and information services and e-education, is not necessarily the progress that we are very proud about. But let me also highlight the fact that particularly library and information services, you will see from the data that I'm going to share with you, that the picture is really not as bad as it is purported to be out there. And I'm sure the presentation on e-education will only provide you with the kind of progress that you have made so far. We would like, if you permit, that before the end of your term, that should come back again, especially on e-education. EDCOM is busy processing the implementation plan, because our problem is not in our strategic direction. The policies we told are fine. All experts seem to converge in a position that says our strategic direction is very clear, our weakness is in implementation. So the e-education area, we are strengthening implementation. The coming HEDCOM, which is on the 27th, will be considering a new implementation plan, which will put e-education on a higher trajectory. And I thought it important that I make those few remarks. Given the time constraints, I'm going to request Mr. Alan Subban, who is the Acting Chief Director and the Director responsible for the function of Library and Information Services. And Mr. Mithu will follow up on that, who is the Director responsible for e-education. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that, Mr. Subban.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members, colleagues. This is a presentation on library information services. The presentation, in terms of its outline, will look at the level of functionality and utility of library services across provinces. It will also give you a brief summary of details in terms of audit of the functionality of libraries in districts conducted by provinces, a costed plan to increase access to library information services through the provision of centralized as well as classroom libraries in terms of the different models that we are looking at. Also, details of the submission of a request for funding to support implementation to National Treasury. If we look at this problem statement as far as libraries are concerned, we say that libraries provide an important essential resource for education to schools, teachers, learners, and members of the community. International evidence reveals that the library users are much more likely to read above their expected level, to enjoy reading, and have a positive attitude to reading. In making the statement, it then is incumbent on us to increase access to library, and the presentation will give an outline of what is being done by the department and the city at large. Action Plan 2014, in terms of its output goals 19 and 20, specifies that every learner should have access to a minimum set of textbooks and workbooks. The department has looked towards achieving this. We expect that by 2014 we would have achieved this goal. Over and above that, it is access to a wide range of resources, media, computers, and all of this should be increased, allow access to every learner. Efforts then must be catalyzed to increase the level of provisioning of these resources in our schools. The progress thus far, the department has developed national guidelines for school, library, and information services. And this is an approach to encourage and support a range of library models, as you will see later in the presentation. In order to achieve these goals, the department commissioned a research on libraries, undertaken as part of the school monitoring survey. The results of the survey show the following, that in Eastern Cape, there are 31% libraries in primary schools and 34% in secondary schools. The picture is much better, 68% primary schools and 74% in secondary schools. If you see Limpopo, obviously the picture is quite bleak, as well as Northwest. So, significant progress has been made in regard to increasing access to libraries. As the survey reveals, at 57% of learners are in schools that meet minimum standards for libraries, as Mweli in his statement stated. Then, in terms of the audit of functional libraries in districts, Eastern Cape, 5,509 schools, only 1,987 functional central libraries. We have 750 classroom libraries, and it gives you the details for each province. Noting again that Limpopo is one of the provinces where the picture is quite deep. Then in terms of schools that do not fulfill the minimum standards, again, the picture shows that Eastern Cape and Limpopo are the worst affected provinces. We have the columns that indicate the libraries that do not fulfill the minimum standards. The column that indicates the libraries, the provinces where libraries fulfill the minimum standards. And, of course, in terms of the missing details, those schools we don't have the details for, which we are pulling up with the provinces. You will notice that there's 10,721 schools that do not fulfill the minimum standard, which is a range of 47%, and 11,678 schools that fulfill the minimum standard. This is in accordance with the school monitoring survey. How does the department and the sector respond to these challenges? We've developed a national strategy to provide access to library and information services for 2012-2015, a costed implementation plan, and of course a request for funding to National Treasury. If we look at the current situation, the provision of libraries to the 10,721 schools, as we've costed it, would effectively require a budget of 16.5 billion rand. Given the present fiscal status and the economic environment, this obviously would present huge challenges. So the DB then asks
in this presentation, we outline a plan of incrementally increasing access to centralized and classroom libraries over an immediate 3-year period. The plan focuses on centralized libraries and classroom libraries. Centralized libraries whereby we're targeting secondary schools in the 7 provinces with the least coverage: Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and Northwest. Classroom libraries, and these are for targeted primary schools, again with a similar coverage of provinces. So in preparing the system for implementation, we submitted a bid to National Treasury for the provision of centralized and classroom libraries in the present MTES. Of course, it will be dependent on the approval of the budget. And once as we await budget approval, the provincial education departments are identifying sites for centralized school libraries for implementation for each year. The fitting plan will result in 1,006 centralized libraries and 3,000 classroom libraries. The initial period of 450 centralized school libraries in the first year and 1,000 school libraries. The estimated cost for the first year is 700 million. For 2015 and 2016, the target will be 328 centralized and 1,000 classroom libraries for each of the 2 years. And thereafter, bid for further funding will be submitted for further rollout over a 10-year period, including the 3 years being mentioned. This is the budget that has been requested for each of the subsequent years. Well, for the first 3 years, in terms of the MTF, and subsequently the budget that will be budget proposals would be sent to National Treasury for the subsequent years over this 10-year period. With regard to risk and mitigation plan, we have challenges in as far as collect data, in terms of the data that is available on MS, the risk management processes that we would put in place. We would expect signed-off data from districts. We would want to establish a library information service sub-directorate in the department with similar structures in provinces that would drive the processes implementation in provinces and districts. Infrastructure, availability of appropriate infrastructure, the lack of a reading culture. We're looking at driving a national reading campaign where citizens will be encouraged to read at least 15 minutes a day, inclusive of all the schools, departments, the lack of funding, which we have addressed already, the lack of personnel in districts and schools for library information services, increased staffing through revision of a post-provisioning in provinces, training of teachers and interns appointed through the Extended Public Works Program on Management and Administration of School Libraries, collaboration with higher education institutions for development of a suitable entry-level course, and training of officials on the national guidelines for school library and information services, which is already in print. Of course, we do have challenges as far as resources are concerned in African indigenous languages. And we have had several meetings with the publishers and making it, driving the commitment from their side to develop the appropriate material to close up the gap. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you a lot for that report. Let us look at the report on e-education. And our members may know on questions they would like to ask. Thank you. E-education, please.
nightmare problem. Something you have to say.
It does not worry about that. You just took a bit too long.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, and good morning, Honourable Members. The presentation here, as it has been said, is on the status of education in the country. What I need to indicate up front is that we look at education, the implementation wings is rightly from your national office, and there are certain responsibilities which lie with the provinces. And there are certain, some of those responsibles are actually driven by the districts themselves. So what this report is going to try and do is to combine those and look at how we can give a broader picture of what is happening. The responsibility is still at the different levels. We are looking at the status of the e-education implementation. What the report is going to do is to look at the status of the infrastructure in schools, picking up the multi-grade schools, and looking at the status of teacher training, professional development, and looking at connectivity in provinces, which is one area that we implement with other departments. We are not the drivers, but we are supported by the Department of Communication in driving the connectivity. In connectivity, we've decided to put this into two categories. Look at the connectivity of district offices, and further look at the connectivity of school initiatives. And as you know, that the Dinaleng schools were also a priority in the beginning of this project, we also want to highlight the progress that we have made in implementing those. And part of that, we have the proof of concept, which was largely a district that has been identified in each province to put a model of education. That's what we call proof of concept district. And we'll also be looking at the progress that we have made in that area. And I think the most critical one for us as national education is the one which we are supposed to be driving is the digital content development. We will also indicate progress that we have made in terms of developing electronic content for schools. And we will then look at the implementation plan that we, as Martha Mwele has indicated, that we are working on refining it, and the progress that we've made and how we think we are going to go forward with the challenges that we have experienced. In conclusion, we'll look at those challenges from the implementation plan. The goal of the white paper, I think, as members will know, is that when this paper was released in 2004, the goal was that every South African learner in the general and higher education and training bed will be ICT capable. That is, every learner and every teacher will be able to use ICT confidently and creatively to help develop the skills and knowledge they need to achieve personal growth and fully participate in the global community by 2030. It's now almost 10 years that we have released the white paper. This piece of work begins to look at what little progress or how much progress we have made in that area. We link the white paper on education with goals of the Action Plan 2014. And in the Action Plan 2014, there are two goals which we are focusing on, which is Goal 16 and Goal 20, which requires education to provide an enabling tool and platforms across the education system to improve accessibility, inclusivity, quality, and efficiency. So in a nutshell, we cut across the curriculum, we cut across teacher development in terms of using ICT as an enabling tool. The first area that we'll focus on is the status of infrastructure as it is currently in the country. We begin first by looking at what was the status of the infrastructure in 2002 and compare that to the year 2012 and say what difference, what progress have we made with that. In the natural, when you look at the stats that we have put today, is in 2002, the status of ICT varied from province to province. There were some of the provinces which were ahead of others and some of the provinces were still lagging behind. But total, the overall picture is that almost 26% of schools in the country had some form of infrastructure. By ICT infrastructure, we refer to, I think in that year we were looking at the availability of a gadget like a computer for every school. And that gadget, we were looking at a gadget that can be used for admin and a gadget that can be also be used for teaching and learning. But as you will see that if you compare those two, teaching and learning gadgets were very, very low compared to computers which were used for administration
by the school. But largely we can say 39% of the schools have some form of a computer that they've been using for admin purposes, and only 26% of those schools had a form of computer. So then we compare that here with the steps that were carried out in 2011, but released, I think, from the NIMS report. Some of the state has varied. There were some of the provinces which you have mentioned, like affluent provinces like the Western Cape and Gauteng, have almost completed their rollout of ICT to public schools, but particularly when you look at the number of computers for admin. The term that we are putting reflects the status of ICT provision to schools across provinces. And again, you will realize that computer for teaching and learning, almost 10 years later, still we were not doing so well. And if you compare that number of 24% to the 2002, you actually will realize that there's a drop of 2% from that. But again, you look at the number of schools in 2002 compared to the number of schools in 2012. The number of schools would have increased by that time. Then out of the infrastructure, we then decided to lift up the area of inclusive education and look at how much progress we have made in this area. What we have decided to do, I'm going to pick up initiatives that we have decided to focus on and see what difference would they have made. We are largely working with the private sector in trying to roll out ICT. As you will see throughout the report, that the role of the private sector is very critical, and they are actually, in fact, even they are a very critical partner in driving the rolling out of ICT in schools. Further, beyond the issue of the private sector, we're also working with other organizations like the National Council of Persons with Disabilities. In an area where we are focused, we'll pick up a body that is responsible for the MCP. PDSA is also working with the DBE and looking at the support of the private sector to focus on some schools. Through the DNWire partnership, which is an initiative that has been driving since last year to this year, we were able to put in selected classrooms in these five provinces interactive whiteboards, collaborative software called Smart Notebook, the clicker software, a projector, laptop, microphone, and speakers to use in conjunction with the Smart Box and Notebook software. The schools which we were looking at are 16 in number. They are very small, but it was a model that we were piloting to see if ever it will have any impact. And through that, we will be able to determine whether we need to expand that model. But further, as members might be aware, that there are 9 ICT resource centers that have been piloted in the 9 provinces in the country in partnership with the Vodacom Foundation. And these 9 ICT resource centers, we have further decided to expand within that model and put the focus on inclusive education. So in the hardware that is already in those ICT resource centers, we are looking at putting software and using 10 of the 40 computers in each center for disabilities. And we are at the same time working with the disability organizations to look at the programs that can be utilized in those ICT resource centers. This would also include a comprehensive library of resources that will enable almost anyone with physical or communication disability through the use of one of the products to come to the center and communicate. The equipment that has been installed to date include the radio switches, the hands-free mouse solutions, specialized keyboards, eye control equipment, low-tech books and software for numeracy, literacy and basic computer skills. And to complement the device and to enable the resources to be fully utilized in the center. This is already up and running, except I think in one province, which is the Free State. And the Free State, the reason that this center is not up and running is that the center has now been relocated from where it was originally, in its original place, to another place to be closer to the community. So the technicians are still working on this area. We further look at the progress that we have made in terms of the multi-grade schools in the country. In 2009, an annual survey report on ordinary schools showed that the country had almost 6,665 schools in the country, which is 36% of the schools, of which 5,000 primary schools had multi-grade classes. And the majority of these are found largely in the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal.
The table below will depict the number of schools per province, and which will confirm the high number of the multi-grade schools in the two provinces that we have indicated. But if you look at that number, while we say 26% of those schools, the majority of those are in primary schools. But we then wanted to see on how we can use ICT to address those challenges in the multi-grade schools. I hope members are aware of the multi-grade classrooms where you have grade 1, 2, 3, 4 in one classroom, or grade 1 up to grade 7 being taught by one teacher in the same classroom. They have been... No. I'm not teaching myself. The PD initiative delivered in 2012-2018 for these schools, the multi-grade schools, is that in partnership with the Telkom Foundation, we decided to put a model. Through this model, we wanted to test if we put a trolley with 800 books and educational DVDs in the classroom, accompanied by a TV unit, a DVD player, and three laptops with 3GB. If ever those solutions combined in one classroom will not enable the teacher to be able to cope with all those different classes. I must say that the results that we are getting from this solution are very positive from the people who are utilizing. Even though the number is very small. But further, what we decided to do is that within the budget of national, we decided that let's also put a percentage of that budget and see if we cannot pilot some of the modules being fully funded by a national Department of Education. And we did a selection of the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, and Limpopo. And these are the schools in which we hope will be completing the rolling out of this solution in this financial year. Even though the number of schools is very small, it's 4%, but it's a different model that we also want to explore in those schools and see if ICT can reap different results. A critical area, I think it's posing a much bigger challenge in the area of professional development for us. While this is a competency of the province, but we say without the professional development, it will not be easy for us to roll out the ICT. If you look at ICT, the teacher training and professional development, as in its current form as provided by the provinces, there is a lot of NGOs and there is a lot of private sector intervention, people who are assisting in that area. If one can lift up an example of the School in South Africa, which is one of the biggest NGOs, it's also running training in partnership with Microsoft in almost all the provinces. The stats that we are getting is that we are not doing so well. It's 32% overall national, but there are provinces that are leading. There are provinces which are very, very low in terms of running training. And some of those provinces are still here. As you will see, we have Limpopo and KZN coming very, very low behind. But what we are saying is that teachers have the ability to integrate ICT in teaching and learning, and further, the percentage of teachers that integrate ICT in teaching and learning nationally is very, very low, and we hope that with the number of initiatives combined, we should be able to lift that number to a much higher percentage. And the percentage of teachers who attend training is still low, especially in the majority of the provinces. We would have liked to have seen at least more than 40% of teachers attending this training annually. Provinces have the responsibility to train the teachers in ICT skills for integration, as I said in the beginning, and the DDE is training to build the capacity of provinces to train teachers in ICT skills integration. And this, we can say, we started this year. The DG has approved a budget to go and run training of district officials and center managers so that they can assist teachers in selected in those districts to integrate ICT in their teaching learning. There is also has plans to update the framework for teacher training and professional development in ICT. That's a document that we are working on. One area that I think is almost known and defined in defining education is connectivity in schools. E-connectivity in schools, there are two partners who are within the Department of Basic Education. It's the Department of Communication, especially for providing the broadband, and we also work with the State Information Technology Agency, that is CITA, to provide connectivity for the district. Looking at the number of districts, we do have 86 districts. We are doing well in this area. We think up to so far we have 77 districts are connected. And I think the reason is that one of the provinces had initially had 5 districts, but those districts were increased to 10. So that's different. And one of the provinces, Northern Cape, is only one district that has not yet been provided with connectivity. But in terms of the connectivity, we say a total of 15,260 schools were connected in 2012, including 10,000 schools connected for administrative purposes. 4,195 connected for teaching and learning purposes through the following connectivity. These are the partners we are working with. The 2010 World Cup Legacy Project is largely driven from the Department of Communication, and we are working with them on that one. And the Vodacom Foundation, Telkom Foundation, and the Slesire Miraka, these are independent initiatives, but you will find in selected provinces, except the Vodacom will be in all the provinces across the country. And the number, as I have summed them up here, appears there for the purpose of connectivity. Through the access obligation, this is an initiative that we are also driving with the Department of Communication and with ICASA and USASA. The target is 5,000 schools are scheduled to be connected by all 6 operating networks through the license obligations. And to date, we have agreed that we will start with the 2,000 schools for this financial year. And we have been requested as DE to sit in the steering committee, which includes DOC, DBE, ICASA, and USASA. And what we were supposed to do was to provide the committee hardware and software specification and also the number of schools. And this function we have already forwarded to DOC, and that DOC will be arranging that meeting with ICASA. I know that that meeting has not yet taken place with ICASA. Status of connectivity in Nalibi schools. Initially, when we started this project, we had one in the 500 schools of the Nalibi schools, which was around 492. Only 125 of those schools were not connected or did not have connectivity. That it was then. But now when we were doing the latest audit conducted by the department, we found that we now have almost 223 of those schools without connectivity, meaning that the number has now increased. And I think the reasons for that, one might say that it's probably the unavailability of resources to sustain that kind of connectivity that could have been in the school and the countries that most of the time connectivity is provided by the private sector for a limited period of time. Beyond that period, when the private sector withdraws, then the schools are unable to sustain that connectivity. The second area is the proof of concept, which I've indicated that after the feasibility study that was conducted by the department in 2007-2008, an agreement was reached to the provinces that modules of e-connectivity, of e-education, will be established in each province. And each province identified a district on which they would want to create that module. The identified districts are listed on that slide for each province, and the total number of schools was 1,525 schools, combined with the 125 Dinalidi schools, which gave us 1,650 for this POC schools. The progress made thus far on the concept of the districts is that the department, in partnership with Vodacom Foundation, had prepared an implementation plan. As I've indicated, there is an ICT resource center that has been established in each of those districts. And the focus with this partnership was on math and science schools, and 270 of those schools, meaning 30 schools around each of those ICT resource centers, have been provided with connectivity through the 3G card, and they have access into the ICT resource center itself. And a hosting site referred to as a digital classroom has been created to support the ICT center and the school in the vicinity of the resource center. And this hosting site can be accessed through the internet, the www.dignet classroom that you will, if you go into that website address, you will see the resources that have been loaded there to support teachers. And we are working with Vodacom in loading what we deem to be relevant content. The 1,650 schools, as I've explained, are included in services such as hosting and the email. We have not yet addressed the issue of the emails because we are still working now with the telecom to create that site. That site is almost close to its completion.
Implementation of this initiative commenced in 2012 last year for the POC, and to date, 862 schools have been provided with WEN. The land has not yet been provided to the schools, so WEN component has finally has been completed in those schools. 1,650 schools will be hosted through the Proof of Concept Educational Network, which is currently being developed by Telkom and the DBE. The site is the www.educloud.org.za. Currently, in that cloud, while it is still being developed, but one can still go into it. When you open it, you will find that we are trying to load all the departmental workbooks. And those workbooks have been converted, been made to be interactive, the workbooks which are going to be on the site. So that those same workbooks that are interactive that we have included, that we have piloted them in the Eastern Cape RCD schools, the schools that have been rolled out, we've been trying to roll those interactive workbooks in those schools. And the feedback that we are getting on the use of those workbooks is very positive. The one area that I've already touched on it is content development. And content development for us, we are looking at four areas. Looking at the interactive rainbow, we have the workbooks that we have from grade 1 to grade, up to grade 9. And the hybrid natural science and technology workbooks, and the distribution of curriculum management videos and the open education. So those are the four areas that we are looking at. We are working on in each and every one of these areas. We have developed something that we are looking on the site, the address that I have just shared with you. The interactive rainbow workbook that we have finally completed, to be interactive, is the grade 1 English first additional language book 1 for term 1 and 2, and grade 2 English first additional language book 1, term 1 and 2, and grade 3 English first additional language for term 1 and 2, and grade 3 mathematics in English book 1. And this year we are working on the other workbooks to make them interactive. The hybrid textbooks are the GT Natural Science, Technology and Mathematics grade 4 to 6. We have worked on those on 2012-13, and they are already in schools, and we do have an electronic version of those that is loaded in the site. And for this year, we are working on the grade 7 to 9, which we hope that by the end of this year will be completed, and it will also be loaded on the site. DBE, also in partnership with Discovery, you know that Discovery has a lot of videos with content. We will take those videos in Limpopo, in the Sekhukhune area, and aligning them to the curriculum and distributing them in schools. A number of schools have been selected, and we hope that this project is going to be able to cover almost 300 schools in its completion, which is the end of next financial year. And the DBE is also currently coordinating initiatives to develop freely accessible educational resources for the education portal. What we have done, we have selected content from the internet that we think is relevant to our curriculum. What is left is to take that current content and align it to our South African curriculum so that it can be utilized in schools. In summary, we say the availability of quality e-content is critical to the national rollout of e-education, and DBE is in the process of developing a dedicated centralized content hosting platform accessible to different ICT devices. And the provinces will contribute and share digital content produced from their different initiatives. As members might be aware, that there are provinces that also have their own hosting site with content in them. The DBE is also in the process of collating and quality assuring open education resources that will be hosted on the centralized hosting. The implementation plan, we have developed an implementation plan that updates the 2004 white paper, including future targets for ICT. And the DAF implementation plan was found to contain some weaknesses in terms of the implementation, and a task team was therefore set by the DG to address some of the weaknesses. That is a document that Mr. Mwili was talking about that is going to be presented to him. The document has been discussed with relevant officials, and the outcomes are the ones which we have listed today that we have got from even a round table. Challenges in the implementation of the ICT. Generally, from the discussions and available provincial plans that we have and the meetings that we have with provincial officials, that the implementation of ICT in provinces is impeded by the following. We have made a summary of that, but for the many years, I think, in the past 10 years, there was a lack of dedicated ICT implementation budget that has formed different provinces. But that area, we are beginning to address it now through HEDCOM, and HEDCOM has now, I think, put it top in their agenda to make sure that provinces prioritize an allocation for ICT. Lack of provincial ICT implementation plans in some of the provinces, not in all of them, and insufficient alignment of provincial plans and target to the action plan of 2014. And lack of competent human resources dedicated to ICT. And of importance is the limited connectivity network coverage in rural areas where most schools are located, and the high cost of connectivity, as we have illustrated, with some of the schools being connected today and tomorrow with no connectivity at all. And the reluctance, I think when you look at the reluctance of the network operators to implement the E-rate, we hope that with the process of the obligations, the issue of E-rate will be addressed through the DOC and ICARA initiative. We are refining the ICT implementation plan in order to address some of these challenges that we have identified in the report. And we just hope that the committee will vote and discuss the report on education. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that. I would like to ask Dr. Prime Communications to come forward. Have you heard? No, she's going to do it. Yeah. Everyone got this? Where's my... The chair in the office. Thank you, Madam Chair, and members, for allowing me this opportunity. I hope Dr. Vetter will join me, but as you know, we also got our own portfolio committee meeting this morning. Our presentation this morning is really just going to give an overview in terms of what's happening within the department, and I think most of the emphasis was really around the next wave, if I could call it that, and that is really around uptake and usage or how to prepare for that. So it is going to take a slant towards capacity development within the e-skills environment. We will be able to touch on the infrastructure component and also broadband in terms of where we're going. Madam Chair, just in terms of the... In terms of the department, obviously the department's mandate is really to look in terms of how do we utilize ICTs more effectively. And as a result of that, we've got five priority areas. The one is really on the policy development in terms of ICT, broadband, broadcasting, digital migration. So if members have heard about the terminology DGT, well, DGT is a component of broadcasting digital migration. Obviously, the post-bank, and then most importantly, is that about skills.
And the department looked at has been working with the ITU, the International Telecommunications Union, who really is the body, the international body responsible for driving information society and knowledge economy. And what was looked at was just really to adapt our model to suit our local environment so that we don't just talk about outcomes but direct impacts of the technology against our national strategic priorities. So recently the department looked at basically what it is that it's doing. This particular slide is just to give members an indication in terms of where our state-owned companies are or is focused in their contribution to contributing to an inclusive economy in South Africa based on ICT. And from an e-skills perspective, you'll see that we had two branches or two units within the department. One is the e-skills institute, as well as the Institute for Software, for Space Software Applications, and then the National Electronic Media Information Systems Organization. And the question was basically, well, if we're going forward and we're wanting to capitalize and prioritize some investment with ICT, well, how best do we do that? So the department has taken a decision to integrate its three entities into one entity, and that is really taking into account also the resolutions that came from Mangohong, which calls for e-skills fund for FET colleges, looking specifically at how to promote ICT skills and capabilities, not just illiteracy, but also the opportunities that ICT presents as we become a connected economy, and obviously the opportunities with regards to creative media. More importantly, it was around e-literacy in all schools and giving rise to the needs addressed or the gaps identified by our ICT sector. More importantly, our NDP talks about the South African or making South Africa an e-literate society by 2050. So in our MTS going forward, the department is responsible for the promotion of e-literacy, not just within schools, but across the full spectrum of society. Again, as a backdrop and looking in terms of how best we can massify e-skill capability within the country, obviously this is not in isolation of our partners, but really to say, well, we require a decentralized model. This model was informed both by our first and second National e-skill plan action, which called for 300 thought leaders across government, government, education, civil society, organized labor, including and civil society, as well as our global development partners. We've also done provincial environmental scans in five of the provinces, looking specifically in terms of what's happening locally and where are the gaps currently. We embarked on what is called a multi-international, a multi-stakeholder exchanges program, and these were visitations to countries such as USA, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, Cuba, Kenya, Rwanda, and even the EU. And the question was basically, what needs to be in place in order to build an information society and knowledge economy? What were the lessons learned there, and how to be prevent, implement, how do we avoid those particular issues in our own environment? More importantly, we also look in terms of the South African landscape on innovation, and that was done with the Department of Science and Technology, and also looking in terms of the Human Development Strategy of South Africa. And what we saw was that there was always a focus, there's either focus only on the infrastructure component, but not so much in terms of the preparedness of the capacity from individuals or our learners or our targeted communities. On the other hand, there was either gaps where ICT was coming in as, you know, an afterthought, and the question was based over how best to be strategically positioned thus. So to date, what we've done is establish six provincial collabs in collaboration with our higher education institutions in those provinces. Each one of them has got a specific thematic area that speaks directly to the National Development Plan, and the intent here is really to look in terms of how do we build also not only our capabilities in terms of delivering and human capacity development, but also bring in our research or grow our research capability within South Africa. This slide, Madam Chair and members of the committee, is really just to give an indication in terms of where we're going. The World Economic Forum's latest report shows that from a South African perspective, we have to look in terms of skills as we are losing our rank. And even what we're doing is obviously working in collaboration with our state-owned companies, bringing a close collaboration with them in order for us to be able to massify on the on our investment, but more importantly also to take the country to the next level in terms of uptake and usage. We've also looked in terms of capitalizing on our existing asset base. This was done in collaboration with National Treasury, where we looked at and said, well, if we look in terms of all the departments in the country and also some of our own debt on companies, the focus is very much on infrastructure, and there's a whole range of infrastructure across the country. Telcom is doing a combination, and we just heard earlier from my colleagues, but also, and that's not just of DBOE, other areas as well. We've got disaster planning in spaces of Department of National of Health, but also within the Department of Basic Education, and also we've got the Department of Rural Development and the Department of Higher Education and Training. So you'll see there's a combination of centers, there's a combination of DNR-led schools, community learning centers, and also other community centers are implemented by provincial government or local governments as well. And so the question is basically how to bring in a coordinated approach so that we can utilize our investment more effectively from an infrastructure perspective. So from the department and looking in terms of the outcome of our national e-skills, our first national e-skills summit, one of the things that was a couple of things were highlighted. So one was that there isn't a coordinated approach in terms of how do we bring all the government, business, civil society, et cetera, together to be able to work towards the increase in South Africa's uptake in usage with regards to ICT. And you'll see that we have been able to bring together quite a lot of strategic collaboration partners, both in terms of the International Telecommunications Union, the European Union, Cisco, ECDL, ICDL, et cetera, as well as other institutions such as the Queensland University of South Africa. More importantly, at a local perspective, we brought in the South African Qualifications Authority. And the reason for this was that if we look in terms of our qualifications as our N2S, there's a big gap in our N2S with regards to e-skills. And the question is basically, well, how do we close that gap in terms of e-skills within a competency, a curriculum development and competency framework. So we're working very closely in terms of our implementation collaborations, and you'll see again the partners that are coming on board, not only with regards to the Department of Basic Education, but also that of the Department of Public Service Administration and the Department of Rural Development and Land Affairs. And the list goes on. And the reason for this, members of the committee, is really around saying, well, how do you bring in where do we bring an architecture to bring in these strategic partners, both at international and at a national level, in order for us to leverage on our resources more effectively? And in this case, resources is not just the human resources or financial resources, but it's also to look in terms of how do we bring new skills component into the country or that is required from a GAPS perspective. Currently, what is happening at a local, at a provincial level, and this is done in collaboration with the Human Resource Development Task Team that has been set up at in the local provinces, is to look in terms of how do we further decentralize this architecture in the various provinces. And the reason for this really is one, to look in terms of where the actual need is, and then mobilize all the stakeholders around that particular need in order for us to basically grow the local environment, be it in the East City of KwaZulu-Natal or Gauteng. And the reason we're doing this is for twofold. One, there's this understanding that, we're putting technology in place is just, it's easy. But the issue is also around how do you build both demand and the supply at the same time. In a province such as the Eastern Cape, to give an example, EdTech is looking at the organization responsible and working in collaboration with the task team to look in terms of how do you create that demand but at the same time also create the supply. So we're growing the ICT sector at the same time. And in actual fact, when we did our environmental scan in the Eastern Cape, we discovered that most of the ICT graduates that is coming through from the Eastern Cape are being lost to provinces such as the Western Cape and also Gauteng and other provinces. So the question again is basically how do you create that enabling environment to retain your skill base going forward? And same is true for Limpopo Province, Northern Cape as well. Just looking in terms of our national e-skills curriculum and competency framework, it's important to note that this is done in collaboration with the key stakeholders. So you have your main players such as Cisco, ICDL, and also business communities in here. The important component here was really to look in terms of how do you basically create a shift. And we worked with University of Tec de Monterrey in Mexico to look in terms of how do you create that shift towards 100% online. Important to note, when we did this and we piloted this for five of our universities at the moment, we have a gap in terms of instructional design capability. More importantly, there's still this fear of basically moving into 100% online environment. Yes, models show that given the right support and given the right processes in place, we can basically achieve to that. So there's changes that need to come into place in order to move to that environment. We tested currently in the country we've got about 43 new courses that was not in existence in 2010 or 2011 across the country, and these courses are all directly aligned to the gaps in the country in relation to an information society knowledge economy. More importantly, it was also around saying, well, if we're going to wanting to reach and create opportunities for individuals, we have to look in terms of a new architecture. What has come through both in terms of our provincial environmental scans is that, yes, there's pockets of interventions with our business communities, etc. What's the miss and where the gap is at the moment is that how to create a platform for innovation. Mobility allows for that. Mobile phones allow for participation. We've got a whole range of undergraduates, but the missing gap at this point in time is that we don't have a place for them to basically simulate this kind of intervention. And we're working with both local governments, provincial governments, in terms of saying, well, how do we create a shift towards what is called smart community knowledge centers, and this incorporates both social incubators and also community learning centers targeting various sectors of the communities. And the reason, again, coming back to the importance of this is not just something that we thought is needed, but when we look in terms of ICTM being the department that is pushing technology, we have to look in terms of how do we also grow the global economy in terms of uptake and usage, but also the ICT sector from a supply perspective. This slide just gives an indication in terms of how individuals can access the various content that we've developed already in collaboration with the stakeholders. These are courses that is being offered in a blended learning environment in collaboration with our five universities. And again, the intent is to really allow individuals in deep rural communities to become part of the network or have access to this. And it's in line with the principle that UNESCO is promoting. As we've heard earlier on in terms of the cloud that we've developed with, that has been developed with Telkom, from our perspective, again, it's around saying, well, how do you create this national e-skills cloud so that everyone can basically have access to open educational resources, be they at a university environment or at a school or at a FET college. And the question is basically, how do we package these things effectively for our targeted audience? I've touched on the area of research and innovation, and Madam Jay, in the interest of time, I'm going to skip this, but just to say that while we're talking about the implementation of the work that we're doing, for us, the most important thing is also to grow our research capability in the country, specifically with regards to ICTs. To give an indication of the e-skills framework, the question was basically, well, in most European countries, the focus was very much on the ICT practitioner. We have to look at our capacity building program for e-skills intervention at a holistic environment. Key to becoming illiterate is obviously the illiteracy capability at an individual level. And there we've taken it one step further, so not just in terms of utilizing the technology, but also looking in terms of how the attitudes have changed and bringing in more competencies going forward. That is a different way of looking in terms of the work that we're doing. I'm going to skip these slides, Madam Chair, but again, it gives a definition in terms of what we're looking at. And really the slide here is to say that for us it's not just basically around responding to existing challenges, but it's also to say, well, how do you put in an ecosystem that grows South Africa's leadership capability going forward? This is probably the most important slide from a department's perspective, specifically with regards to air skills, and it ties in with the previous one where we looked in terms of aggregation. We need to look in terms of aggregation. In our discussions with National Treasury and also other departments, there was pocket interventions that were happening. Investments are being made by business, civil society, education, etc. The question is basically, how do we aggregate this? How do you bring in, what is the framework required? So when we're looking in terms of teaching and learning, we look in terms of app development, etc. And to give an indication, when we started in South Africa 2011, there was no one in the country that was actually offering app development courses. Yet we had a large uptake of, we saw a trend in terms of uptake and usage with regards to mobility. We embarked with Research in Motion, which is responsible for BlackBerry, and what emerged was basically an opportunity for us to establish 3 mobile app development centers. We've tested that in Gauteng, Western Cape, and also in the Eastern Cape. And looking in terms of where the shift has gone just from aggregation, well, the one thing that has emerged is that, yes, there's an opportunity for creativity to come through. So whilst we're talking about e-literacy and digital literacy, we should also think in terms of how do we promote creativity within our youngsters. The second issue that emerged was really around saying, well, how do we start bringing in an articulation and a platform to engage these individuals around mobility? I'm proud to say that we do now have local applications developed by our youth, and this is in collaboration with the partners. It's increased relevant new spend within this particular sector, but more importantly, it's also opened up new job opportunities which were not there a couple of years or 2 years ago. So today is the shift that is being created. Madam Chair, 2 more slides and then I'm through. The one is just to give an indication in terms of where the World Economic Report on South Africa's e-readiness rankings is it. And you can see that from a skills development perspective, we're actually going down as opposed to going up. And the question is basically, what are we doing then? That coupled, obviously, with what my colleague has said earlier on, that is around the affordability issue that South Africa got. But more importantly, if we look in terms of Category D, we're doing quite okay in terms of the economic impact, but when we look in terms of our social impact actually going down, we have to start looking in terms of how do we address these issues in a collaborative environment. What is the envisaged impact for the department from an e-skill perspective? Obviously, we need to impact 10 million people, and this is not just the department doing it, but in collaboration with our other partners. We have to give direct impact against our national development plan. We have to increase our country's e-readiness rankings. We have to look in terms of better ways of increasing our effective social appropriation of ICT. We need to start creating more knowledge workers, and not just ICT for ICT, but really create the shift, new transdisciplinary skills are coming to the fore. We need to look in terms of how best to utilize access to technology in such a way that it grows our leadership, inclusive growth, and equity in the country. Madam Chair, I may not have answered all the questions or your concerns directly in terms of the department and what they're doing with regards to infrastructure, but just to say that one immediate activity which is not listed yet is that the department is finalizing the broadband policy, and that is in terms of broadband rollout within the country. That is a high priority area for the Minister and also for our DG. With regards to e-skills, I think from the opportunity for us is really to look in terms of greater coordination and alignment to support the strategic goals as articulated in the Towards the Realization of Schooling 2025. I think one of the comments that my colleague has made around professional development for teachers, I think there we could play a much stronger role. We've been working with the Department of Higher Education and Training, where we actually did an audit and a pilot on the professional development for ICT lecturers at FET colleges, and I think it's something that we can expand and make available. We can look in terms of also building the leadership capacity around the investment of ICT, both at management at the management level, of course, and also district office. Very much a need was also articulated by FET colleges, which just ran a national workshop with 28 FET colleges in collaboration with the Department of Higher Education and Training, and the same issues emerged in terms of the principals also into understanding how best they can utilize the investment of ICT. I think key for us is the promotion around e-literacy, e-students to leverage new job opportunities. We've got 23 new channels that will become a reality as a result of broadcasting digital migration. So opportunities there in collaboration with the broadcasting digital migration team, which would include SABC, is how do we basically utilize or leverage one particular channel or bring together a program that can promote e-skills within the country. This is also critical because we have to look in terms of articulation. And it was something that was pushed to us to think about in collaboration with our partners from the Human Resource Development Council of South Africa to say, well, how do you bring in the articulation from schools, from communities, schools, equity colleges, and universities? More importantly, I think for us is to explore ways as to how we capture the e-skill capacity development programs of the Department of Basic Education as part of a national aggregation frame for e-skill so that we can better align our activities and budget going forward. And given all of that, Madam Chair, I think the needed recommendation would then be to establish a joint task team, including that of DHET, to formalize opportunities as outlined above. And I think here the issue is not to focus on infrastructure only, but to look at an integrated approach as to how best to utilize the infrastructure. With that, Madam Chair, I'd like to thank the committee for allowing us the opportunity to present. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, ma'am. Just to tap your mic. The mic. Thanks a lot, ma'am. I would like to thank Basic Education and Communication for this comprehensive report they have given us. I think Andrew Lau questioning, because when it comes to basic education, we always cite you, there are shortcomings in both of your reports. Quite a number of gaps, I won't mention them, because I'm sure the committee picked it up. While they didn't pick up, I'll use it in my closing remarks, because we'd like to enhance your report for the community. Because a person noticed when it comes to E, that the white paper we have in place since 2004, and not much was done. You know, and we are already in 2013. And I won't speak about the other shortcomings. I won't speak about them, because I wanted to say what was not in your annual performance plan that you're speaking about in your report. And then the other thing, too, is a person don't get a feel when it comes to disability. Because remember, we have our full set of schools, we have our special schools, and they're supposed to, you know, like we were Botswana, and we saw quite a number of things that have when it comes to, you know, our blind, our deaf, etc. Although we were those schools, and we picked up what you had to within those schools. And then with communications, we do not oversight you. But even, I think, members perhaps will be asking questions. But we have to thank you for giving us an overall view of what is happening in all departments and just narrowing it down to basic education itself. But there are certain things that we will be asking you. Thank you. Any questions? And people? Honorable members, sorry, not people. How many questions do you think? Because I would like to say 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. And then basic education counting. Now, because we're 7 members, and it's not 55 questions after all, but 3 times 55. So let us narrow the questions down to what is very, very important. Because this won't be the first time. Because like with inclusive education, we'll have to call them in again until we are satisfied that we can give the new people next year something else to speak about. Let's start. I'll start with Honorable Marnie. I'll go to Honorable Makubela. I'll go to Honorable Lovemore. I won't forget Honorable Lovemore. Honorable Lukubini. What's the name again? Walalek, sorry. Honorable member. No, I reached Makubela. All right. A person become confused. Don't worry. Honorable Smile, Honorable Mishwana, Honorable Mishishi, and then last, Honorable Gina. Let us start with Honorable Mani.
Thanks, Chair, for the comprehensive presentations. I don't know what to tell, but I think I have one question of clarity.
Yes.
In the ICT Infrastructure 2011 slide, it appears as if there are more schools with computers for administration than we have schools with computers for training, for teaching and learning, percentage-wise. I just wanted to be clear as to why it is mixed with administration, because the administration should be a standalone thing, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
It's that clarity that I'm seeking. Thanks.
Thanks a lot for being so short. Honorable Makubela.
Thanks. I think I made it until some time at Honorable Moni.
I'm not allowing it. You just give what you're supposed to give. But don't give me now 5-5-5, and then when I get to the person next to you, then they one day 6-6-6.
Yes, okay. Chair, the first, very short.
Yes.
The plan for getting more or establishing more libraries is a 3-year period. I'm actually concerned whether in that period we'll have sufficient number of the required librarians that we need. Whether the same, the two are going hand in hand, or we're planning infrastructure without regard as to exactly or efficiently how will be this library there. The second, on e-education. The first is not a question, Chair. Always we raise it as if it's a question that there's no real answer to it. But e-education and e-learning, today it's like there's a difference when I looked at two slides. But whether there is the same thing or is different, we may need to understand that at some point. So that we know we don't talk e-learning and e-education interchangeably if it's not one thing. And we look alike or we get embarrassed somewhere. But what I wanted to really ask here, Chair, is these interactive boards that we're seeing there are in some schools and classes.
Mm-hmm.
Often, if there's no continuity in terms of their distribution, let's say in a school that is in one class and not everybody has access to that, and that group of learners pass the grade to another one and there's no continuity because they can't have access to that anymore, it's a problem. How do we ensure that they have access to this throughout? And I don't think it's just about periods and all of that. I'm talking real access to that in their learning process throughout so that it's effective. The other worrying part here, I think I must move towards concluding because you may be worried with me. It's the sustainability of this connectivity. It said there's private sector that joins insurance connectivity, but as they pull out of that contract, as and when that contract comes to an end or is terminated, schools themselves, the department and so on are not able to sustain that. To me it's a worrying thing because once you get into that agreement, to a greater extent you must know or begin to think how you will sustain it. So that you don't do something today, tomorrow it's not there, there's some disorganization, you know, that comes in when you can actually deal with that. The only thing for clarity is why are they reluctant to come with an E-rate on this? I can't remember that slide, but you're saying the private sector is reluctant to implement E-rate in this particular regard, and for the challenge is that this is costly. We may not sustain it. And what are the challenges? What are you now thinking about and so on? Because then all the money will go to this education. We may not sustain that. Thanks, Chair. At least the rest I will wait until other members give me a chance to raise them again.
Thanks. Thanks a lot for that. And I think with that first question, where the Honourable Makubela, let's talk about the librarians. The PPN of the department do not make provision for the appointment of library staff. So I'll speak to that too. Honourable Atmos?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, my colleagues have covered some of my questions. Let me start with the libraries. What I miss entirely was a sense of urgency, entirely. I mean, we've just had recently the NIDU report on foundation level literacy. We had the ANA results, and we've got the ANAs coming up now starting in September for this year. We know that our literacy levels are very, very low in this country. Our children need to read, and they need to read with comprehension, and therefore they need access to books. So to me, the urgency level is high, and I am not getting that. Linked to that, I have then a question, why not, or how would you link having libraries and having access to reading books to learning outcomes, to literacy targets? It might be through, as is suggested by Dr. Taylor in the NIDU report, through reading norms, that a child must read so many paragraphs per day, per week, whatever, that there might be reading norms. But in some way, it's pointless just having books in the corner of a classroom. The books have to be taken out by a child and read. So how are you going to link this to literacy targets? First provision is obviously is really important, and that's applicable to ICT as well. With just respect to the, and the training goes with that as well. With respect to your plan on libraries, you indicate, the slides aren't numbered, but indicate the plan focuses on the provision of centralized school libraries, etc. What plan? I don't have all my other documents in front of me, so it might be self-evident, but where are the targets set down? And then the funding, estimated cost of implementation is 700 million. Look, I don't buy that classroom library that costs 50,000 rand. Really. A startup classroom library, 50,000 rand. But nevertheless, you've costed it. I don't buy that figure, but the estimated cost is 700 million. Now, I'm from the Eastern Cape. The Eastern Cape doesn't budget for anything that it doesn't need to budget for other than staff. Is it going to be a conditional grant? How are you going to ensure the funding of libraries? And then, very quickly, on the e-education. Chairman, the Department of Communication provided very, very nice definitions for us. Now, there's a definition of e-literacy, which I assume is what we would like to achieve with our children. And it involves, I won't read it, but it involves communication, managing information, collaboration, creation, sharing content, all sorts of things, not simply just how to use Word, how to use Excel, how to use PowerPoint. My question to you is, are we looking at just how do we use software, or are we looking at the development of e-literacy in our children? So what are we actually trying to achieve? Just going back to the e-education white paper, there were phase targets, three phases. They were not met. What makes anything different now? Those phase targets took us, the three phases took us to 2013. By 2013, everybody should have been e-literate according to the white paper target. You're saying that there's a new implementation plan. What makes that one, or makes you sure that one is going to actually be implemented? Also, there was supposed to be an e-education advisory council to be formed, a ministerial e-education advisory council formed. Was that formed? There was supposed to be an e-education interdepartmental team which was going to monitor and manage the policy. Was that actually formed? Just two quick things. One thing that I missed completely, and it might be stuck away somewhere, was virtual classrooms. You spoke about interactive workbooks, etc., but virtual classrooms don't feature in your presentation. Are you looking, in fact, at virtual classrooms, particularly for rural areas? And then you've spoken a lot about hardware and software, and not so much about the warmware, the people who are going to make sure that the computer training is done. I mean, I would like, in order for us to have globally competitive young citizens, I would think that it should become mandatory, in fact, for every teacher to be computer literate. And is there any move towards that, either via SAFE, through yourselves? Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. I will start with Lebron. We have indicated that just a little bit above 10,000 schools are not benefiting from this, and there's a budget of more than 15 billion is needed to ensure that these schools have letters. But what I want to know is that this amount, does it include staffing and training? But because in most schools we don't have qualified librarians. This maybe can get that one. And the second one would be on e-education. In your policy goal, you have indicated that it's going to take you about 10 years to roll out this project. But up to now, you're at 86% with schools. I just want to know what has caused the delay. And that when you're saying every South African learner in general, do you also include grade R? Is there any plan also to roll out this to ECD centers, particularly those that are under Department of Basic Education? My last one was on the e-skilling. We have indicated that we are going to provide e-skilling collabs in 6 provinces. That will be one per province. Which province is not going to benefit from this? Also indicated that you intend to impact to 10 million people on in-skilling, but you don't indicate the time frame. When do you intend achieving that? Thank you.
Last for communications. Honourable Smart?
Thank you, Chairperson. All right, Chair. Chairperson, first of all, there's a problem to with the libraries to get a sort of a whole picture of what's happening in the schools. Because first of all, some of the tables that have been given is there without comparisons. I mean, what is the baseline? Where did you start? And where are we now? So that was a problem. And I think you've indicated that earlier also. Yeah. But the direct question is, why did the department decide, on what grounds did they decide to have the option of centralized and classroom option? And what about the mobile option? I haven't seen the motivation coming forward why this model was chosen. And also to that one is the cost in comparison to other models. Chairperson, and then the plan or the implementation. I see it's by 2016, 238 must be built. must be provided. Looking at the infrastructure currently, the level of infrastructure, normal schools and classrooms, we see a problem that is the department not too idealistic, you know, with regard to this one, the plans for this. Let me leave that one. Chairperson, then with the e-education. I think, first of all, let me note, or let us note, the goal, the e-education policy goal, but also note that the targets have not been met because by 2013, certain targets should have been met. But as indicated by my colleague, Honorable Lovemore, the urgency is not appreciated and the targets have been missed. Now, the critical question, and it comes back to the plan, implementation plan. Why you as a department, DBE, as a coordinating and as a leader for education in the country, why do you allow the implementation plans of the provinces to be lacking? Why did you not urge them to come on board and deal with these plans and issues on e-education? Chairperson, and then for the other one, the last one, I think I need to ask a question to the department, our basic education. Remember now, they are accountable to us. The second last bullet on the last page on the proposed recommendations. Explore ways as to capture the e-skill capacity programs of basic education as part of national accreditation. The question is, if communication, the Department of Education says that they will explore ways, right, then it means that very little up to now has been done for schools and for basic education. My question is then, who must lead basic education, DBE? Why is communication reporting that they will explore? I think from my side, basic education should have been on board to indicate to them this is what we want. It is a concern that we will start only now to explore.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question will all rotate around inspection in local issues. We are getting reports of things that are happening in schools. Presumably, I'll start with libraries. I'm doubting if there was any inspection in local, and one would think some people sit in certain offices and got information maybe electronically. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that. The first one is on the action plan, which says that I think it's slide number 5. It's like saying every learner should have access, blah, 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 and the set of minimum books, and it's giving dates. As if learners don't have that. And I know for a fact that learners have books. I'm talking of the rural, and the Limpopo. I can give you an example of a school called Mazibini, just to name one. But there are a lot of schools. I can talk of 24 schools in that particular area, maybe that particular sector that I'm talking about. They have books, all of them. And what we're getting here is that learners still have to have books. I don't know if learners at this particular bit and talking of is having books. Why are learners in this? It's doubtful. What I'm trying to say is that is there inspection in local or people get reports from people in offices? Or should we go out there and see? Because we cannot keep on saying books are not there if there are books. That was my first question. And the second one still on inspection on local, and where we're given slide number 9, we're given percentages, which is a good thing, but then percentages are informed by numbers. You don't come with a percentage without a number. It would have been easy to give us those numbers, you see. You cannot calculate percentage. The starting point should be, unless if my philosophy is wrong, and I'm like saying, we need to have numbers. We work on numbers. This percentage thing is not necessarily taking us anywhere. And because numbers are there, which inform the percentage, can we get them electronically or maybe in the next meeting? I appreciate that sometimes we do get these things later. And the next one, they are short too, very short. Thank you. The next one, this one is very short. On slide, this slide does not have a number, but it's on progress. It says Limpopo. I would talk for that one because at least I'm from Limpopo. I know for a fact that there are schools with libraries. But here I see a number of schools with classrooms. I don't know, it's because people don't have information because the desk may talk too many things. So I won't necessarily talk to them. But I'm like saying, people must do inspection in local so that we don't get a dash. A dash can be, it can be given different, and yeah, depending on the person who is looking. And lastly, on another slide, basic education sector approach, which I think I'll appreciate. Actually, one should have started by appreciating this document because it's assisting a lot. How least, you see, if you speak and you say at least, it's like at least can be calculated differently by a person, you know, if I say at least. But let's talk of Limpopo. How, they say the target is primary schools in provinces with the least coverage. If they don't have enough, if they have the least coverage, we need to know them so that we go to those schools and make sure that they do have coverage. And the last one. There is a proposed implementation plan, which is informed by all those things that I was like saying. One is doubting if these were like checked in reality, like we can say inspection in local. Now, how do you come up with a plan which is not, maybe not well informed? Because we if you didn't go there, hey, and you come with things that differ from things down there, you come with a plan which is going to be wrong. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Honorable Mushwana. Because I'm not showing the delivery taking place within the Limpopo. And I'm happy that you brought this up. Mashishi, Honorable Mashishi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Most of the question has been asked, and thanks for the presentation. I just want to check on the ICT professional development, where you talk about the percentage of teachers who attend training. You said it's still low, especially in the majority of provinces. Did you find why the percentage is low? And then the second question is on mobile library. And then I know that they have some buses, and then buses can also be targeted for thieves, especially if they carry computers. What is the prevention measures in that case if thieves try to attack? And then again, buses could break down or require services maintenance. They didn't talk about it here. But I've seen someone.
No, that's how we press when we speak about mobile.
Well, yeah, in the presentation. So other questions that I wanted to ask the person, they've asked me.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I'm sorry, Chairperson. I don't want you to disturb me. Okay. Chairperson, we are talking about implementing the listing of e-learning and training of teachers and whatever. Yet, we are still waiting even for this implementation
report from the testing that has been put. I don't know whether the DCS signed it on or what. How do we connect the two? What are we expecting from the report that is coming on the implementation report vis-a-vis what is taking place? And we're busy talking now, we want to do this here and there, but yet we are here, they're here, they reported that they find some gaps and they were working on it. So how do we marry the two? Or on what we are expecting, what's waiting and what's happening as we are continuing? Yes, I'm not saying that we should wait, sit and meet for the report, not having anything, but really, how do we marry the two situations that we find ourselves in now? Chairperson, again, we are looking at the percentage of schools with computers. Yes, Honourable Moni have asked us to say, why do you even mention the administration, because the admin computers, because it doesn't mean a lot to us today on the presentation that we have today. But again, I want to ask further Chairperson, as to say, the percentage is very low with computers for even the admin ones, even for teachers themselves, for schools. And we cannot shy away from the fact that it has been years now we've just been talking and struggling on teacher laptop initiative. We failed. Or maybe there is something that is still underplaying that I don't know, but for me, we failed up until now. Well, how are we planning to move forward, really? And on top of that, we are busy talking about training of teachers, where we are saying about 40% should be trained. What are they trained on, really? I'm just imagining, we must always think of value for money in whatever we do. Yes, we can take those teachers out of the classroom or whatever time we go and train them. They come back, they don't even have a computer, they're not practicing those skills or whatever that they've been able. So are we saying when the computers are run out in those schools, are we expecting them to be in a position to read the training again? Because the training is there, it's charging, they've got clear targets, as to say, training by 2013, this is how many teachers must train, 2015 and whatever, but we're not talking of the computers themselves, as to say, yes, they go to the training, what is it that they come back to do? So when you talk of value for money, the report would be saying we've trained so many teachers, but is it worthwhile what we'll be doing? So maybe whatever implementation plan that you are waiting for, it will be talking to those things, but for now, it's just quiet on it, and we can have that, but for me, some of them are not taking us anyway, unless we get another explanation. And that one, I will cover it with the question that was raised by Honourable Smile. I laughed, I said, Honourable Smile, we don't have much of the instances where we agree, but today I fully agree with you. When you come to the thing of exploring ways of I think it was on the almost the last line, and it's on exploring ways of feeling and so forth. Then my question was, between the Department of Communications and Department of Basic Education, what is your, I don't know whether it's like a memorandum of understanding, but what are your talks between these two departments? Because there's so much that the Department of Education is reporting on, there's so much that the Department of Communication is reporting on, but we don't see these things coming together as to say, what is your plan moving forward? If you are still saying you still need to sit together and explore ways, again, it leaves much to be desired as to say, what is it that you are doing? What is it that both departments are doing? Where is your common ground as to say, this is our target, this is how we want to see these things rolling out in the schools? Maybe if we can explain that too, we can be happy. Department of Education, we talk of these ICT centers. I think they are 9 throughout the country, meaning maybe 1 per province. What are they? What are these ICT centers with 40 computers? If it's one in the province, yes, we must be in somewhere, I know. But if I can get a more picture, as you say, what are you intending? Are you planning that in future we're going to see more of these? Oh, these are the IT centers maybe that were given by from the Department of Basic Education, expecting provinces to expand on it so that we know exactly. Yes, I think we must be happy that there is something that's done, but what impact are we seeing from these only 9 ICT, and how are you planning to roll it further? I was very happy, Chairperson, when they talk of multi-grade teaching again. We know the problem that we have, even besides the issue of ICT and what. where we're still waiting for the department to come up with the guidelines of teaching the multi-grade schools. Now that we're thinking of ICT in multi-grade teaching, I think Mr. Mwedu, we can even talk to that and say, even teaching as such, we're still waiting for those guidelines for the multi-grade. Are you working it together then when we talk of ICT, multi-grade, and also just teaching purely because those classes, those teachers need so much, really, they need so much assistance in both areas. So I don't believe the ICT bench, I don't know whether there is an ICT bench, but those people working with the ICT can come up with their own program, not linked to what you are planning as your branch when it comes to the issue of e-learning. Let me stop the chair. I know you are looking at me, but
Looking, we're going to have another meeting with the department, but also we're going into elections. But we'll see where we put in the department. I think with the central ICT centers, we don't know where it is, and it's important for us to have a picture of where they are. Then when it comes to, you're speaking about it. Yes, the resource centers, you're speaking about it. When it comes to communications, talk about a joint task team. And I think just link it to the Honourable Gleaner's question, because I think that is important. Because people spoke about, you know, the Honourable House spoke about exploring, and people have concerns there. And then often it comes to the training. You speak about the training, but that training you're speaking about, when it comes to teachers, etc., it's not in this just performance plan. But you are speaking to it. That's why I think everyone is so worried. This is a draft, not signed by the DG. But you are really implementing. Because that doesn't tell us implementation is taking place if it is not in your annual performance plan. Thank you. Who's going to start, Ms. Mwele? And then we can ask communications just to end off. Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. As you indicated, when we started, you had restricted questions to three. But my recording indicates that some members went to about 9 and 10.
Let's see, I'm the chair in this meeting. So let me, like, receive the department. They like the grand advantage.
No, I won't get into that. The colleagues are going to help me to respond to these questions. And let me also say once more, it's quite enlightening to engage with this committee as always. But I just want to make the following 2 points. I think what came out of the engagement with honorable members is that it's important to start from some baseline, which is a very useful point of departure. And I think it's very important. To start with, let me make the statement. I hope it's not controversial. 10, 15 to 20 years back, this data was not available. With all its flaws, with all its gaps, it was not there. The data was not there. Today we are able to engage with some data that gets close to giving us a sense of where the country is and where the country is going. And that is very crucial for planning and monitoring performance. And I think that acknowledgement must be made. Secondly, Chair, I also think that, you know, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Sometimes in life you make a decision to be critical about yourself and to be woefully truthful about what the picture is and the battles that you are engaging with. Sometimes your adversaries use your weaknesses against you. The minister has given a very clear instruction. We don't spin doctoring. We don't hide anything. We say it as we know it. We say it as it appears. So that when people pick it up today or in future or 10 years to come, they must come out with the same facts. Now, this is the approach that we have taken. The approach that we have taken, we've indicated
where we are. In some cases, we've been able to indicate where we even come from. I want to slightly differ with the view expressed that very little has been done. I don't think so. The vociferous and very strong pointed questions that are coming out in this meeting, I'm not sure that those questions emerged 5, 10, or 20 years ago on the same issues that we are discussing today. And that's the point that I want to raise, that while we acknowledge that we are not where we should be, but indeed the report that would have been presented maybe 2 years or even 3 years ago wouldn't have said anything about multi-grade schools in e-education, wouldn't have said anything about inclusive education in e-education. In fact, the report that would have been presented on libraries wouldn't say anything about any study that has been conducted by this department. We're now discussing the results of a report that comes from the school reality survey, in fact, the school monitoring survey, which was conducted in 2011. And we have some firm data. This is the same report that linked to Mail and Guardian, by the way. The voluminous report goes up to about, 200 to 300 pages. And Honorable Mushwana, if you're dealing with a survey of 24,400 schools and you sample schools, it's useful to use percentages. The number could be there, but you're dealing with a large survey. And that's why in the main we use percentages to some extent, we talk about, but and these are figures of a sample. We haven't been to each and every school. It's not feasible when you conduct such a survey. And as a chairperson, I must just touch on those things. And probably the last one, because I heard you saying that you're coming from Botswana and so on. It's also important as we benchmark ourselves against other countries, there are other dynamics that we need to look at. For instance, Botswana would be a side of one of the provinces here. One of the provinces. And not one of our big provinces, one of our big provinces for that matter. I'm also from Kenya last week. One of the main challenges identified by 27 countries which attended the conference that I attended, Honorable Lamo, is that very few countries can confidently say that every teacher has been trained to train learners to read and write. Very few. In the majority of instances, teachers have been trained in language acquisition. Language acquisition and training or teaching learners to read and write are two distinct things, totally distinct. One of the challenges that we need to pick on as public representatives, the culture of reading is particularly low in this country. Nations that read encourage their children to read and they perform better. Russia is one of those countries. It's a reading nation. When it comes to learning outcomes, learners are doing far better. What we are engaging with DHET on is that we must start framing our programs in such a way that every teacher who goes out of the system to teach, that teacher must be fully equipped to teach the five aspects of reading. Five aspects of reading. And we don't have those teachers in this country. And I must say it. I'm one of them who was trained, but I was never trained to train learners to read. I was trained in language acquisition. It was then and many years ago. Up to now, teachers are not trained to train learners to read. I think it's food for thought maybe in future when we engage. I'm going to request the two colleagues to specifically respond to some of the questions.
Ms. Kweri, I allowed you to say what you want to say. And there was quite a lot of campaigning in between too. But I thought, if the Department of Basic Education want to do it, let them do it. And even when it comes to Botswana, I think, therefore, the province I come from is bigger. But even if a country is small, a person can learn from it, like we all learning from different countries. And I think the way you spoke, I was not really satisfied, because even when it comes to Honorable Mushwana, you did a sample and you can have a percentage, but what is the number?
Let us decide whether it's empirical, because perhaps you're giving us something here, and it's not empirical at all. And then even when it comes to our other members, even if it is our opposition, we do not agree. You know, all parties do not agree with what is being said. But I think let us answer the questions, like I said, as truthfully as possible of the questions that have been asked to the department. Because the thing is this, although you speak about e-learning, I heard about e-learning years ago in the Eastern Cape, that it's being used. And even when we sit in this meeting with basic education, we do ask you about, you know, we're hearing about e-learning. Speak to us about it. And do not point to us about years ago it was, and I say, good, we did a lot within the 20 years when it comes to basic education. We are going to agree to it. But let us answer the member questions. But thanks a lot, because, Ms. Mawele, if you do speak the way you spoke, I would have given you a high when I went out. But at least, you know, you are saying truthfully what you feel, but you have to respect the members and when the members ask questions. Do not let it be. You're going to translate. You are going to translate, because I'm not going to allow an official to speak to any member the way this official spoke to us now. Thank you. You may continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will start with the libraries and deal with all the questions regarding libraries. The first question from Honorable Makubela. The question was whether we have enough libraries in parallel with the establishing of libraries. Librarians. Well, you are quite right in the sense that the BPN at the present moment does not make provision, but we are engaging with HR on this matter. But there's other alternatives for library assistance, where we're engaging, as was in the presentation, with the EPWP program, where we would use interns as library assistants and train interns to the schools in the administration of libraries. Also the fact that when the class would go to the library, they are accompanied by a teacher, and the librarian assistant will be the assist teacher in the administrative work. But of course this is a process of engagement in terms of the post-provisioning of libraries, which is unfortunately a protected one at best. Honorable Lamo spoke about the urgency in terms of the new report and the inner report. We didn't include it in this presentation. But the driving force also in terms of the rollout of libraries has been informed by the new report, the inner report, the SACMEC, the Pearl studies, the evidence of reading steps. And therefore, it is also... should I say, ignited us to press on very, very quickly in terms of rolling out of libraries.
What the honourable member meant was, like I said to you, this is the right thing for us to tell our board, just like you think of education. You know that you are closed. Yes, I know, but I say just like inclusive, they are closed. And not speaking to the slowness.
Okay. Yes, Honourable Chairperson, thank you for the clarification. Just in terms of the cost plan, we find that in primary schools that the classroom libraries would serve the reading on a proper scale than where learners go to a particular library. And when they get into the secondary school, there will be a centralized library. Now, the question was also around, if I'm correct, around the funding of mobile libraries. Our studies have shown that the mobile libraries are not really cost-effective. There's huge costs involved with respect of the driver, the maintenance, the shelving. We've worked with the Japanese organization, and they brought in a number of vehicles into the country, which we put out in provinces. However, they come just with the vehicles, and there's huge challenges with the Department of Transport in terms of registering these vehicles. But there's nothing else that's put into the library. So the rest of it has to be funded by the department. The books, the shelving in those vehicles, the maintenance of those vehicles, the driver, the security, all of those things. And it's, many of those buses, once there's maintenance issues, you know, they stand before they and our focus is therefore on a more integrated plan and rollout of classroom libraries and centralized libraries. However, they do play a part, and we will continue to use them as long as they are available. The 10,721 schools, in terms of the funding that Honorable Maleka spoke about, does it include staffing and training? We didn't give you the full picture of what the breakdown is. It does include staffing as well in terms of library managers in schools. We have a detailed plan. Honorable Lovell raised the issue of about 50,000 rand with respect to classroom libraries. This is a costing that has been sourced in terms of an average price for classroom libraries. And we hope that we could be able to do that at much lower cost, and we'll have a much greater rollout of the plan as such. But at this point in time, we've gone into much detail in terms of getting the costing, which includes shelving, identification of the books, the stickers that go on and so on, that would best be used in a classroom library in terms of informing the learners where the books are placed and so on. Honorable Smiles, your points on the tables are without comparison. We take that point, and we'll definitely address that. I've spoken about the mobile libraries. Is the department not idealistic in plans to roll out libraries, given the infrastructure rollout? We are hoping to do that in parallel as well. Presently, and I'm open answering questions, if we look at the rollout infrastructure, we have a number of Asiri schools that are being rolled out. Parallel to that is the resourcing of libraries. Every school that has been opened, we've brought in library books. In terms of our guideline, the guideline specifies 5 books per learner. We've been able to meet that requirement in those libraries. Of course, it's a plan that continues to be rolled out in those schools to increase the number of books in each of those schools. Honorable Mishwana, your point is noted in terms of the sample. We have indicated, basically we've been able to source this through the school monitoring survey. When we go to schools, we basically look at what is the status of the libraries in those schools. Very often we find that where libraries did exist, and here I'm talking in terms of the plan for libraries and ICT, both of these can work as one and can be aligned to each other. There are some models where you would have an ICT center together with a library. But very often, as much as computer rollout and having computers in schools is important, but many schools see this as a prestige to the detriment of libraries. You're finding that in some schools, libraries, the library room is taken up for a computer room. And that's what we want to avoid. So I take your point on the schools themselves. We hope that if every school we will visit, we will be able to provide a report on the libraries, and we would be able to provide a monitoring tool for them. The percentages in terms of the numbers, I'm not sure, because some of the tables preceding that particular table of the percentages does give you numbers of schools, the number and the percentage. I think I've covered all. Shepard, now we got it for you. Sorry, Jefferson, allow me. I spoke about the mobile libraries. Honorable Gina, do you have any questions for libraries? Yeah, I think I've covered. Thank you, Jeff.
Chair, I asked specifically about the plan. And I would like to have asked it particularly because in the presentation to us, it is a proposed plan. So what basis does the plan have? Where is the plan?
Yeah.
Thanks for that, because while we are speaking, I made a note of it, you know, because to me it's not, the status is not legal, so you will, all right.
Thank you, Honourable Member, for your question. I think going to be very difficult to take a question and respond to it, but I'll prefer, can I sketch a scenario and then let's start responding to some of the questions within that scenario. With answers. Yes. I want to answer to respond to it. I think the reality in terms of ICT is that whether fitted where you are, you know that the space is led by the private sector. That's the statement that I must put. Upfront, I would say 5 years, 10 years ago, we were looking at putting a lab and installing computers within that lab so that every learner in the school have access into that lab. But the advancement of technology is saying to us there is no need for you to have a lab. You can have a laptop in your own classroom. The advancement of technology says there's no need for you to have a laptop, but you can have a tablet in your classroom. The advancement of technology says there's no need for you to have a tablet, but you can have a cell phone that you can utilize. So if you begin to look at it in that way, perhaps the big challenge is for us today, how are we matching our plans to the developments that are taking place outside the classroom? I think the critical thing here is that do we have something that will drive education without incentive, maybe I must label that, without even department having have to do heavy investment, is where we position ourselves, particularly, for example, with content. If we have content readily available that you as a member here can download with your own cell phone and give that cell phone to a child, will we still find ourselves asking the same questions that you are asking? It changes the entire picture. And I think the second point that I want to bring in is that in the questions that I think were asked here somewhere, there was a question of saying, why are we, have we not made progress in this area? Why do we see progress in that other area? It's not, my response is not, I'm not defending. I'm saying, yes, we are presenting this to you. We are aware that we have not made progress. But the reality is that if we come and present here by next year, the report might have changed. You might find that if we say we have addressed the issue of content, every teacher can say, I'm able to teach. Is that the steps that we are ready to pick up? We have not yet prepared ourselves to look at the utilization of cell phones in the classroom. But we are at the same time saying, can we create content as the Department of Basic Education that can be made freely available to the educators? And the initiatives that we have sketched out of content today are going to address that section. The issue of what is it that we are training. We are not training teachers to use a mouse. There is no training that is doing that. We don't train teachers to use mouse. We don't train teachers on word processing. But key for us is the integration of ICT into teaching and learning. None of the teachers who are in the classroom have been trained to say, this is how you integrate ICT into teaching and learning. It's a new space, and therefore the training there is specialized training. And the progress that we are making, even though it is slow, partly it's slowed down by the unavailability of that hardware that might be utilized. But yes, we are concerned with the warm boys that must implement that solution. and the review of the implementation plan. I'm picking up what I think were the broad questions that are addressing some of it. But why are we looking at this plan today and reviewing it? I think what we are hoping to get there is that if you look at the white paper on education, it specified a clear objective of what needs to be delivered. But what was not addressed in that white paper was the issue of responsibilities. In terms of rolling out the responsibilities, what are the key, the white paper, what are the key responsibilities of national, what are the key responsibilities of the province, and what are the key responsibilities of the district? And this implementation plan is attempting to address that. And the second part that the plan will be attempting to address is the issue of what are the things that we can deliver on and when can we deliver on those. The white paper was just broad and saying this is what we want to do. It did not say, the only thing that it said was that the goal, our goal is that by 2030, every child, every teacher, every learner, every teacher should be ICT literate. Whether we have reached that goal, if we looked at it in line with our white paper, we have not yet reached it. But I'm going to draw a statement here. The statement is, if we look at it inside, outside the classroom in terms of how the utilization of ICT is being carried out independently by the learners, we are not going to find it very difficult to put a child in front of a computer and start running and do the search. They are doing that already compared to the past 5 years. So it is, that's what I'm saying, the development is going to be different in the coming 5 years, 2 years' time, if we look at the progress that we have made. It looks slow, but outside it might actually, it's not as slow as probably we are presenting it here. The issue of connectivity, it also came up strong, and that I'm going to link it up with a relationship that we have with Department of Communication. The connectivity of schools is an expertise of, we rely, I think, as the Department of Basic Education, I must put it that way, to the Department of Communication. And we have put in place structures that are facilitating that process. We are talking to the Department of Communication. We have drafted a plan together with the Department of Communication that must still be presented to Treasury for approval on how the connectivity should roll out. I think if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Weso, the plan is currently. Correct. Sorry. The plan is currently, I think, developed the plan as early as 2011, end of the year 2011. In 2012, it is currently ready on how we think we're rolling, going to roll out schools. But we might have to go and read that very same plan that we have drafted together based on the developments that are taking place in the ICT space. I think that question also addresses the issue of the targets in a way within the different provinces and the partnership by addresses. And the issue of the delay, I think the delay by addresses in a way. The issue of the resource center. And the teaching. Master Moore is going to respond on that one. The issue of ICT resource center, I think we've made quite some strides in that area. We were looking at developing a module. An ICT resource center is not ICT outside the classroom, but it's what you would have called a teacher center, a teacher training center. How do you move into that center as a teacher and utilize ICT to search for information and utilize ICT to assist you in preparing for your lessons and assist you in also preparing for your reports? Those ICT resource centers are meant to do that. They are, I think in the slides on your page 12, I've listed there under the proof of concept. In each and every one of those districts, we have put an ICT resource center. I think for Limpopo, we have one of the most successful ones is in the Bembe district. And that, if you go into that ICT resource center and see how teachers are utilizing that center, you realize that we don't even have to issue what we have called the circular of inviting teachers to come over, but teachers go there on their own, because we see the value of what they are getting out of those ICT resource centers. But to take the point of the resource center once and forward, Within the staff Rise to the Top initiative, there are 20 ICT resource centers that are going to be up and running before the end of the financial year. So you look at those 9, plus you look at these other 20 that are going to be coming up. We're actually looking at a model of putting 30 ICT resource centers by the end of this financial year. Work has already started. I think the committee will be able to report on progress once we come back. But if I can give an example again, I can, the problem is that I think I hear, as if you know, like there's a lot of questions coming back, Mashish, is the Limpopo. We have already been to Waterberg, and if you can look at Zembe, where Zembe is, and where Waterberg is, I mean, those are two corners which are completely, completely isolated from any development. But we already have a building that is ready, that is going to be managed by the district manager. District manager decided that I want this center here so that we can be able to make sure that there is access for all the teachers. And all other districts, so the 20 districts, so the ICT resource centers, are going to be spread throughout their provinces. In those districts, Madam Chair, you will find that there are laptops which are ready there, which have got access to computers, and you will find there's a whiteboard which can be used for teaching and lecturing. You also find that there are television screens which will be used for broadcasting content. When you need your grade 10, 11, 12 content, you are going to find it there. We have a partnership, for example, with a company, with an organization, an NGO called Mindset, which is broadcasting live lessons during school holidays, all those centers, and some of the schools which we have identified and put the equipment do receive those extra lessons, which are live. And I think the final thing that I wanted to put, which is a point that I have left in terms of connectivity, is that the plan that we have drafted with the Department of Communication, something that I must mention is that we are looking at broadband, on how do you connect schools to the broadband, how do you connect schools using VSAT, how do you connect schools to the, all these other solutions. But one area that we never even thought that will be leading today was the area of 3G. The studies which have been conducted around South Africa, around Africa, were found that 3G mobile technology seemed to be taking a lead in providing connectivity to your schools and even to any other citizen who's there. For the first time, you have every household which can say we have connectivity in the house through the mobile. So it's another area that we have not addressed fully in our plan. We still need to be brought in on saying how do we capitalize on mobile technology to provide connectivity to all the learners. I hope I've addressed it.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you for your opportunity. And my apologies for not having been here early on. The first issue that I think that many honorable members raised was the issue around exploring ways to collaborate. Honorable Chairperson, one of the biggest problems in our government is the silo mentality, that departments work in their own domain and they don't talk and they don't exchange. And what we mean by exploring ways of collaboration is to break down these silos so that we can work with other government departments. For example, we work very closely with the Department of Higher Education and Training. They have just published a turnaround strategy for FET colleges, and it's all about ICTs in those colleges, and we're going to work with them. And we have an MOU with them, very specific dealing with issues. And I think just as a side, you know, the white paper was published in 2004. Now, 10 years in the world of ICT is a very, very long time. And that is what the eSkills Institute wants to address. How do we create an environment where we can respond timelously to a change in our world? If you can just imagine grade one kid now 16, 6, 7 years old is going to look for a job in 10 years time. And if we don't get into our heads that the jobs that we have now are not going to exist in 15 years' time. How do we prepare our young people for a world of 10, 20 years from now? And that is what we're struggling with. And I think some of the members indicated, you know, that our kids must read, they must write, they must do arithmetic. Some of you will know the three R's of the past. What about information literacy? I mean, in the future, you'll be able to read, but if you can't analyze and evaluate the information and knowledge that you get from Google, you will not be able to operate and be functional in that new world. So I think there should be a whole new way of looking at e-education, e-learning, education generally. And this is what we're trying to achieve when we say explore ways to collaborate, not only to provide connectivity, because connectivity could be there, but nobody will use it, like in many of our centers. And there's another point I just want to make in terms of collaboration. You know, the hundreds and more hundreds of centers being established, and 85% of those centers are not used, and computers sitting in there, because the training we're giving to people and to communities and to our countries is just not there. And this is why I think the DOC with this institute would really like to engage the Department of Basic Education. I think we had one or two meetings in the past. There is MOU regarding connectivity, the infrastructure, but I think I'm getting a sense from this meeting that we have to think beyond infrastructure. And there is, I think, where we needed to sit down and really engage. The other thing is about the collabs. We have six. We must have nine, but because, I mean, there's a budget constraint there. And I think, again, in collaboration with other departments, we can deal with that problem. The timeline for 10 million, we took from the National Development Plan that by 2030, our society must be illiterate. So to get in the next 16, 17 years to an e-literate society, we have to, in the next 5 years, impact the lives of 10 million people. And that meaning that you get society to understand how to think and live and work differently in this new world. If the mother understands, the mother will be able to the impact on the lives of five children, and it is the kind of work that we have to do. And lastly, the issues around the professional training. We're working with UNESCO's e-competency strategy. Now, it's clear in that UNESCO strategy that there are three things regarding ICTs in schools, or e-competencies for teachers. The one is the device that the person must be able to use. Secondly, how do you use ICTs to deepen knowledge? And thirdly, how do you use ICTs to create new knowledge? And unless we as a collective, and in collaboration with the Department of Basic Education, we can impact on our children, we will not get to the 10 million. Because our schools, with 25,000 schools in the country, there's a way to really impact thousands of children that we can prepare for the future. So then lastly, yes, the timeline for 10 million, and we worked out a plan how to get to that 10 million, how to collaborate, how to build partnerships with government departments and the private sector, because one institution can never deliver 10 million people in 5 years with some whatever education. So we have to collaborate. Those were the three issues that were thrown to us, and unless Maimuna would like to add something, I think that is it, Chairperson.
Let me share just a comment in addition to what Dr. Vedel has said. I think one of the things that is being challenged, or where the department is challenged and our ministry, is that whilst we agree that industry is innovation, responsible for innovation, they're still expecting a department to lead. And I think our ministry and our minister has definitely taken up that goal to lead the ICT sector. The issue at the moment is that whilst we're meeting, or whilst our minister and the top exec
is meeting with the captains of industries. It's very difficult to basically bring in or meet with them in isolation of what's happening nationally with regards to ICT. And I think when we talked about the issue around national aggregation, it's really to say, well, if we want to increase our e-readiness rankings in the country and the department is responsible for that, how to create a platform that can inform also the ministry in terms of pushing what is called an e-readiness fund, and industries has basically mooted for that. So I think how do we collaborate and work effectively together in order for the various leaders to basically engage with the sectors in order to achieve our national goals? Thank you.
Just before Mr. Mawere answers, I think when it comes to IT, you seem to just dismiss certain things members of. You know, when I was teaching, when computers came in IT, I was sent to a course, and we start with green buttons for this, yellow buttons for that, big things. You know, not what I have today, because I know when it comes to IT, it changes every day. Therefore, people are saying we are slow, because the white paper is 2004, and even communications is admitting it, that we are slow. You know, especially when it comes to education, even when it comes to devices that were asked, because our teachers don't know how to use a mouse. So how are they going to use this when it comes to your infrastructure? You know, specialized equipment, they have to know how to use it if you want to have an integrated approach to learning when it comes to ICT. So I think don't dismiss things members are asking, because we are thinking like as parents, as teachers, you know, things that we will learn. And you know what is happening in the schools. We do visit. Look, for example, into a farm school. I'll take the example in the Western Cape. When it comes to the interactive whiteboard, then the teacher said, we are waiting for the person that's trained on it to come into the class to put it on. We take, for example, in Free State, one of the principals, I'm going to send him my tablet as a gift. Very excited about all the work they got on the computer. But it is an outdated laptop. When you want to tell me something, it took so long to get to that thing. So, you know, now that is this new innovations. We have to see that they are within our schools. Because I liked what communication spoke to, the use of the device. How do you use the ICT, you know, the integrated approach, how do you create new knowledge? Those are questions people are answering, and they want answers to it. And, Ms. Mawere, you're going to answer to this draft implementation plan, because we're discussing a draft here that is not signed. And I hope you're going to take responsibility. We come back to you. If things have changed in that whatever part of your plan it is, because you are the accounting officer, and I don't think the DG takes kindly to something that's not signed by him to be discussed in these meetings of ours. You may answer, then I'll tell you what it is away. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Let me just start by indicating that, because it's important for the committee to have all the information at its disposal. The DBE and DOC deputy ministers meet every quarter. And then the officials meet every month. But the unfortunate bit is that it does not necessarily involve the colleagues who are here. So going forward, we have to integrate the way we work with DOC so that it includes all the role players who would want to have the same benefit as DHEP. And I think that's what we'll do going forward today. And then just to also say that Honorable Mushwana will give you the numbers of the samples that you will get, Honorable Member. Yeah, it will come through you, Chair. Yeah, it will come through you. Maybe we'll also give the full methodology of the survey, you know, as well as you know, the outcomes of it. And then, Honorable Smile said, why do we allow the implementation plans to be lacking as a coordinating department? Which is a very, very important question. To start with, it was even difficult to get this plan. It took quite a while and an effort. You can ask Mr. Mlisi to even get the plan. The truth is that, Chairperson, ICT, historically and up to now by many, has been viewed as a luxury, not as a purview of utility in the workplace. For instance, providing the devices is viewed as they are not the most important things to have. And that is the, you know, what prevails in the sector, which is a paradigm that we need to confront. But there are still many people who believe that ICT hasn't come to the point where it's absolutely necessary that all employees, all learners, for the environment and the world that they interact with, that they should be ICT literate. And I think that's a paradigm that we need to confront. The same applies to libraries. Libraries were viewed as a very auxiliary function. Besides the fact that the curriculum emphasizes point that, you know, the learning and reading materials are very central to learning outcomes. And I think it's a paradigm that we need to, if you analyze blind budgets of various departments, you'll see how ICT and libraries are budgeted for. Some departments budget very little, some don't even budget anything. It's because of the attitude of the sector towards library services. We're even battling up to now. The minister is making a decision to place ICT and library services as a standing item of CEM, as well as HEDCOM, to really try and make sure that we change the paradigm that obtains in the sector. The draft implementation plan, it's unfortunate here that we refer to the plan, which is what we could do, and the plan is not there. The plan is en route to HEDCOM, and the practice and the procedure is that you don't present what is not final unless you get an approval from the DG or even the minister. It hasn't gone to CM. CM has issued a retail instruction. Mr. Mnisi said, from the white paper, 7, the policy direction is here. And the policy direction says every learner, every teacher must be, you know, ICT literate, and they should be able to perform at this level in the competencies, which is the right thing up to now. Now, the implementation plan has not actualized that. That is the major weakness of the implementation plan that we refer to. And secondly, the implementation plan that we've been operating with has not delineated those roles and responsibilities. What is the role of DBE? What is the role of the province? What is the role of the district? So that if things are not happening, you know where to go. But unfortunately, this is the implementation plan that we've been following. The new implementation plan is going to delineate quite clearly, and that's the difference between what we've been doing and what is coming. I think the draft implementation plan, it delineates those roles. It says who's responsible for what. For instance, DBE's role is to make sure that we provide policy direction, we provide the norms, we even monitor and provide support to provinces. And provinces have to deliver on all of these deliverables. The last one, it was about sustainability in terms of connectivity. Honorable Makubel, it's very unfortunate. You know, when these initiatives are conceptualized, you get the commitment from everybody, we are going to do this, we've got a plan. And when the private sector pulls out, suddenly wonderful initiatives just get dropped and they collapse. I'm reluctant to say I'm yearning for the monkey veil. But one day there would be a monkey veil where some of these things you bring people of different responsibilities under one roof. And then a question that should be answered by DVE, you say, DVE, what is it that you have done in this one? And unfortunately, these things do happen, to be quite honest. And I don't even want to annoy Honorable Lovemore with concurrent challenges around the concurrent functions. You initiate as DVE, the province takes over. When things do not happen, the only thing that you can do is to plead and try and do all kinds of things. Okay. So the draft implementation plan, Chair, does what I have explained, what Mr. Mnisi has explained. In terms of the sense of agency, I think I've attempted to respond to that one. It's a paradigm that we've been operating with. We hope that CEM and HECOM, by placing this standing item, will inject some sense of agency to make sure that we move with greater speed in delivering on library services as well as e-education. So, let me also say, sometimes the comments and remarks that we make here might give a very wrong impression. I've said this in the past. Had it not been of the nature that you engage with us, this department wouldn't be where it is. The progress that we have made is simply because after engaging with you, we have a mountain of assignments that we have to go back and carry out because we anticipate the next engagement. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for that last remark, because I think it was said at the workshop too. Through the Deputy Minister, and I know that we got a very good collection. But just to round off, I won't set in any order. That meeting with ICASA and the license, that's special. Of course, you didn't do it. Integrated approach, communication, like Ms. Mawela says, the two ministers are meeting, but I think they showed these at me to the SGs. Not the SGs, the DGs, sorry. Then when it comes to the ECOM meeting, you are correct, Mr. Mawele, because besides E, include the libraries there. And then Mr. Smart spoke about the name being used, says the name's been used interchangeably. You have to give us clarification when it comes to the schools, because when I speak to certain people about libraries, then they speak to me about media centers. You know, it's a media center where everything is. So I think we need to have clarification on this media center. Does it include the library? Then the draft, you spoke to her really about it. And we hope that when we meet you the next time, that you'll tell us there's a signature, you know, on the draft implementation. And then the national guidelines for school libraries. I think we need to get that as you could see what is it all about. Then, like you said, you need a project team. And I think you need a project team within. You know, we don't want one person that's handling this whole process throughout South Africa. We need to have a team in place. And I think when it comes to communications, you need to have a team too, because according to the chairperson of communications, there's no team in place when it comes to E, whether it's e-education or e-skills. And then, I spoke to specialized training, the IBC center you spoke to. But, you know, I should spoke to you on, you know, you're supposed to give us, because I know you're in charge of inclusive education when it comes to disabilities. What you have in place. Because can't say the department did nothing. We saw. That's why I think the Honorable Shwana was challenging you on what is happening in Limpopo that's not reflected within your report. Because we were at certain centers and we saw, and within what Shwana we saw too. And we want those things implemented here because the Botswana report will be with the committee in our, for the next meeting where we should pass it. Because even it's a small country, I told them they're smaller than the Eastern Cape. And I think I know they're smaller than Northern Cape. But we can learn from them. You know, because even when it comes to reading, and we all may have something when it comes to reading. What are we going to have, Lowellen? A read? what's it called? Yes, read SI. They bring in the learners to come and read to us. I want to have as a surprise to you in our next meeting. Then you'll see what we're done in school. So when it comes to that, it will be on the 10th. Then what we still need to do is do another examinations. The report will start with it on the 10th. But on the 10th, we'll need to have the report in here that we can just check what have you got in place. Even if you start in that day, and then also readiness for examinations, because I don't think my report will give me, because you always ask on the program, where is this readiness that the department is supposed to speak to us about. So we'll have it in our next meeting. And sorry, that's all right. And then also, the review will be in the next meeting. And then, members, we still have minutes that we have to pass, approve. But let us do the minutes in the next meeting. We're only seeing each other now the 10th of September, because I'm not sure yet. We're supposed to be in constituency period for the next 2 weeks. And then we're still going to visit a province. And the province we're looking at, seeing that our education will be busy, will be the Western Cape, where we can look at exam readiness in the Western Cape when it comes to grade 12. And we're also going to look at the violence within the Manenberg area. I think it's very important for us as this committee to go in that we can see what is the province doing and what is the province doing and, you know, what contribution we can make from our side. Because people, you know, it's a very serious question. Because I know when it comes to our communities, to me it's something that takes place. Because the teacher will tell you now from Allendale to say they should know about children. But we have to look at what can we do for all these schools right through South Africa, not only Western Cape, but in Johannesburg, but in the metro of Port Elizabeth, just everywhere where we have the gang violence. Because I was quite surprised, and I won't try to use the slang word, because you're not supposed to use it within a committee, what certain push, you can't even use the word pusher, you can't even use the word drug lord within your report. But what is happening when it comes to those groupings within South Africa? And then, what's the separation of provisions? No, we don't need it. I think I'm going to close the meeting now so that the members could at least have some time just to rest before we go to Parliament this afternoon. Because everyone has to be there. That's a three-line work. My work is here, and my work will see what they should do, you know, when she's in Parliament, if one of us are not present there. And thanks a lot, Ms. Mawele. I know you're campaigning again, but I had to warn you not to do it. And I think you people were not to with us, especially when it comes to ICT, as though we don't understand it. I was under the collar. But we do understand it because you can see we are sitting even without tablets within the meeting. We know what to do. And, you know, even the media people told us at the media conference, media workshop, that the members asked to do these things. It's not what Parliament gave us. We are equipping ourselves that we can speak to your RTT man. And then I'd like to end the meeting there because I'm now smiling and I'm talking nonsense to you. But remember, Mrs. Honorable, when it comes to NEDU, we are not getting the NEDU dollars not coming to us. And that's the information for everyone, because a public service and administration feels that NEDU should fall under their department and not under basic education. And then I'd like to thank the Minister, Ms. Mawele, have to listen, because you have to still thank the minister from us to say that she's doing good work. And even Madam Zill agrees with her. But I'm not sure if Honorable... I won't qualify, but I know the Honourable Lovemore does not agree. No, she's not agreeing. Oh, she does. Fine. And then I didn't look at the outfit today. But I see you got in stripes and the Honourable Lovemore got in stripes too. So I know who told you. Although it's not the same color, but your socks are the same color as the outfit today. Thanks a lot. Thank you.